Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, here I am again. Welcome to Teaching, Learning, Leading, K12.com. And we've got Mark Wilson with me today. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Steve, great to be here.
Appreciate you taking time with me. Mark has a consulting firm. It's called Education Leadership Group. And what I'd like you to do is just start off by telling us about what you do.
Sure. First off, let me say, Steve, it's a pleasure to be with you. And I appreciate all the good things that you are doing and have done for kids and for schools. And it's an honor to be with you.
Well, thanks. You're too kind, Mark.
I've been a teacher for 27 years now, and I'm continuing to teach. One of the things that I do, I'm an assistant professor at Kennesaw State University. And in addition to that, I do have a consulting firm where I do presentations, I do workshops, I do coaching, work individually with principals, with school systems. I had a great opportunity throughout the year to visit with people all over our country, and I can say that our country continues to be the greatest in the world and the greatest in the history of the world. I'm really proud to be a part of it, and I'm proud of our educators everywhere. We're doing good things all over the country, and people are working hard. And I went to had a great opportunity to go to the TED conference back in the spring, and there I had a place to fill out what my job title is, and really don't have a job title anymore. So I chose encourager and supporter, and
I like it.
And I really think that's what my job is now. I encourage and support teachers and principals, and help them both have resources and to give them a boost in the work that they do.
Before we move any further, though, you've had some really cool past accomplishments, like your National Principal of the Year, and was it 2009?
2009. Yep.
Talk a little bit about some of those things.
Sure. Well,
it's okay. Go ahead and I want you to talk about some of your accolades. So,
well, that's always fun to do. I've had an awful lot of good things happen to me, and I've been really. Somebody told me a long time ago, if you help the people around you get what they want and need, then everything you could ever hope for will come your way. And I don't think anybody ever sets out to be this or that or to get accolades. Maybe they do. I don't know. They probably don't win them if they do set out to do that. And being named National Principal of the Year was something I never aspired to be. I really good students, really good teachers, and we had great results and made a difference. We had a great change, particularly in the areas of student achievement, graduation rate, students participating in advanced classes, and students being successful in advanced classes. But all of those things really came as a result of the hard work of adults in the building. And I think that's one of the things I've learned the most, both in my practice as an educator, but also in my research and study of how people are successful, is that so much of what we do the school's impact on a student's success really depends on changing the actions and thoughts of the adults in the building, and changing them to thoughts and actions that lead to student success. I know that sounds really simple, but I think it works.
Obviously does. You had some great successes. Can you give me an idea what some of the things that you did to help make kids successful?
One of the most important things, I think, that we did when I was at Morgan County High School in Madison, Georgia, as well as what I see other people doing now, is you have to have a vision of what it is you're trying to achieve. And our vision at our school was called One Morgan. And it was more than a slogan. It became a way of life. And One Morgan meant that collectively from all over our county, we came together as one, and it was a unifying device. But the flip side of One Morgan is that each person, each individual, is really an important part, and what they do is no more or no less important than anybody else. And that concept, and again, I know lots of people use similar mottos and mantras to be able to clarify what their work is, but I really think that that's a big thing that we did, was we had an idea of what we were trying to do. And then what happens is when the people in the building, when the adults and the students know what we're trying to accomplish and know the spirit in which we're doing it, great things begin to happen. At our school, we built a skate park. We had a rodeo in the front yard once every year. We had a thing called Friday Live where kids who had a band and wanted to play, they could play on the steps of our auditorium. And
awesome.
It was like a street party. It was, it was great times. Very much student voice was intentionally an important part of our school, and our students did amazing things. And, you know, what we were able to do is very much something that people can replicate wherever they go, because it's pretty simple. Let students do things. I've been places and I'll run into a teacher and they'll say, well, I've been doing the prom for 25 years, and I'm thinking, gosh, you're way too old to even be going to the prom. You need to let somebody else do that. I think that at schools, in our attempt to do for kids, sometimes we don't allow them to be in charge. We need to do with and not for. And in doing that, we have some adults who work at schools that have become really good event planners because it's what they've done with their school. And learning is messy. Learning means you make mistakes. Learning means that you have opportunities. But you have to have a culture and an atmosphere that supports that. Otherwise, coming to school is not a period of exploration for kids. If they can come and they can do things and they can be in charge, then they're excited, because people, especially before you get too old and let the world squeeze it out of you, you want to create and you want to do things. And if you have a school that allows you to do that, you want to come to school. And then I had three things that I set out every day to do. I wanted to have a school where teachers wanted to work there, students wanted to attend there, and that people were successful. And that was my goal every day. And that helped guide my actions on a daily basis. Some days I was better at it than others, which is part of the human experience.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about the teaching of leaders that you do with your firm, with your group, Education Leadership Group. What do you think is something a leader in a school level should be prepared to do? And I know that's kind of a...
It's a really big question,
yes.
Steve.
And I just kind of want to, you know,
so have any words to it? Yeah. So I feel very fortunate because I taught. And when I taught, I had a class of students at a time. Like a lot of people who are in our business, Steve, I didn't get out of the classroom on a full-time basis because I didn't like teaching. As a matter of fact, while I was principal, I taught every year. I've had a class, and nothing like what my teachers were doing, teaching six periods a day every day. But I enjoyed it, and I never wanted to get away from that. So I always liked teaching, but the reason that I got into administration was because I wanted to make a bigger impact on a broader scale. And when I decided that I was going to move into another phase of my life and move out of the principal's role, I decided to get into a role, into a variety of roles, as it has turned out, that allows me to make a bigger difference on a different scale. And to do that, I'm meeting with principals primarily. Now I work with students, I work with teachers, I work with parents, I work with in a variety of manners and speak to whoever's would like for me to speak with them. Primarily my work is trying to help leaders with the knowledge and skills and habits and attitudes necessary to be successful as a leader. And so the thing that I think that a school leader needs is they need that mix. They certainly have to know a lot of things to be a school leader. But you also need a skill set that allows you to do the things that are necessary to lead a school to success. I think in our business, because we're primarily dealing with people, that your attitude is a critical piece. And I think that a lot of all three of those, your knowledge, your skills, and your attitudes, they're fortified with habits that help you be successful. That's my job now. I'm at least a big part of some of my jobs working with school leaders and potential school leaders on trying to develop those knowledge, attitude, skills, and habits. And what I think all of that comes down to is your ability to lead people to action, to be able to get people to do things, because you can make people do things through the authority of your position,
right?
But they'll only do so much. One of the nicest things anybody ever said to me was Marianne Dartnell, who was our chief scientist at Morgan County. She was the head of the science department.
Okay.
And they had a farewell for me, and it was really nice. She stood up at the meeting and she said, Doc, that's what they called me. she said, Doc squeezed every bit of life out of all of us. And somebody who hasn't been in school administration may think that to be not so kind, but to me, it was one of the nicest things that that anybody excellent. Ever said. And I believe that because I said it very often to the people who worked at our school, is that your faith and your family need to come first, but after that, I want what you got left. What uniquely happened for us, well, probably not uniquely. I think it can happen in lots of places. I think it does. Is our group of adults, the teachers in our building, came together, and they were united by a purpose and a belief in what we were doing. And that belief was that all students can learn, and that our efforts made a difference. And what happened was the adults made everybody, they made each other better. It became it wasn't a competition, it was a collaboration. And being around people who are good at something, you know, I think of the players who played with Michael Jordan, and they might not have been so good on another team, but I had a lot of Michael Jordans on my faculty.
That's
and,
awesome.
And they made a lot of Scottie Pippins really good. So it was excellence breeds excellence.
Yes.
What I hope that school leaders do, and what I hope that they will do, is build those relationships to empower teachers, empower students, let people do things, let people have meaning in what they do. And I think that's what I am sharing with leaders and potential leaders to help them be successful.
Let's take a little bit of that. Let's talk about what you think when school leaders who struggle, you know, is there one thing that you've discovered they usually struggle with? I mean, something that, and I know, once again, this is, you know, a big world, bringing it down into just making you choose one thing. But
no true false questions on Steve's show, I think.
No, exactly.
So what's that? I would say neither. So I guess the thing that I tell school leaders, first-year principals in particular, because I don't want them to struggle nor get in trouble. The things that I think about that can bring them the most heartache, outside of ethics, and you know, ethics are, we have to be at the highest degree of ethics, whether we're principals or teachers. A lot of people, they resent the fact that they're held to a higher esteem, but what I've always told people is that's because our job is more important than other people's jobs, and it is. We hold the keys to the future, and the children who come to our schools are the most important thing in the lives of their families. And so, you betcha. I mean, we what we're doing is really important. And because of that, we need to have people who are held to the highest degrees of ethical behavior. But aside from that, what'll get you in trouble, I think, as a school leader, poor communication and impulsivity, if I give you two things.
Yeah,
and
you snuck in a second one. That's all right. Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
And if you make a Venn diagram of the two, that turns out to be a circle.
You're cheating on me now. That is a teacher coming.
Well, if you end up in your Venn diagram of the two is just a complete circle, that you are impulsive and you're communicating poorly, then you've probably had a bad day. But I see that for you have to be patient if you're going to be a leader of anything, because unfortunately, a lot of our politicians, policymakers, and philanthropists who are interested in education, they I know their retort would be, y'all have had a lot of time, but the reality of change is that real change takes time. You know, the biggest change factors on the face of the earth have been water and wind, and they just had the value of time behind them. And I think we live in a very changing world, and that's great because there's great possibilities. But often many of our school leaders are pressed. They'll do anything. They'll say anything because they're excited to have a new job. But they need to keep reminding their supervisors that real change takes time, because you're not just changing what people do. You change how they do it. And people do better when they know why they're doing these things. But ultimately, our goal as leaders is the same thing it was as teachers. We're trying to change who people are. And not for our own agenda, but we're trying to change them to be the best they can be, to be successful, to be servants of other people. And that takes a little bit of time.
Doesn't happen overnight, does it?
Does not happen overnight. And that's a struggle, is if your leadership above you at the central office or the school board, we have many wonderful superintendents and school board members all over that get this. But for those that don't, they run through leaders and they don't know why they can't find the right one, but they probably are going to continue to be disappointed, because no one can come in, wave a magic wand, make everybody get to a point that takes 3 to 5 years to get to. If we have leaders who are in good situation, good circumstances, with superintendents who have a longer view, who are seeing that what we for us to do what we need to do for our children, our communities, our states, and our nation, it's going to take us time. It's a process. That's not an excuse to not start. Some people use that. They say, they say real change takes time, so I just won't get started. But that's not the answer either. It's we've got to begin. We've got to stay on a trajectory. And we have to support each other.
You don't want to be like McClellan asking for more men, right?
Exactly.
I'll get there, Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah, that you got to be like Grant was, who sent the he sent the telegraph to Lincoln. He said, "Mr. President, if the matter be pressed, I believe we can win." And President Lincoln sent back, "Press the matter." And so,
So we did. So with that, let me talk about something I've seen you actually do in your classes when you're working with leaders. You know, when I watch you, you focus on them, getting them talking to each other. Why do you do that?
Couple of reasons. For one, when we are doing professional learning, particularly with leaders, we need to be modeling good classroom behavior. And isn't it ironic that somewhere in a institution of higher education today, someone's giving a lecture on engaging students? Because we haven't always led by example. I think that definitions and words fail in places where the demonstrations and models are successful. So I want our principals to be sharing with their faculty and modeling good behaviors. Those behaviors need to be what faculty members are doing in classes. It needs to be engagement. We need for people to be able to speak. The worst thing in the world we can do is to bring idle hands and minds to the building for 7 hours and send them home. And so part of this is I suppose trickle-down concept that we will, or train the trainer, whatever's more polite to say, but that we're able to get our leaders to be thinking in that particular way, that and to really institute in their minds that their actions need to continually be a basis for models that they want their teachers to do. Because, you know, the phrase principal started as principal teacher.
Right.
And one of the things that I often am able to share with our new principals is you're still a teacher, but you're a teacher of teachers. And that's one of the things that's important for our leaders to focus on, is that their classroom is the teachers. They certainly need to have a relationship with the students and a number of different types of relationships, but their work is with the adults in the building and leading them. And so I want our adults, our principals, to be talking. And one other reason I really want that, too, is in our business, we often talk about professionalism and that we want to be treated as professionals, but we really need to act like professionals. I know in other businesses, whether it be the medical field or legal or a number of other places, they're professions because the people in those jobs have unpredictable circumstances that occur, and you can't just do the same thing over and over again and get the same result, because you're dealing with humans, you're dealing with unique situations.
Right.
So what happens is there's not a textbook with all this in it. So,
right.
Yeah, right. But, well, if there was, we wouldn't have time to read it. But what we need, though, is the opportunity to come together with people who do our job, because principal's a lonely job. There's only one of you in the building. Even though you've been assistant principal and your assistant principals are fine and wonderful people, heavy is the head that holds the crown. You just don't know until you're the principal. And when you can spend time with other principals and you can share not just to vent, or although that's valuable and has its place, and not just to commiserate, but really to lay out a problem and to be able to say, I'm struggling with our performance in 10th grade math, and here are things that I've done, but none of them seem to be successful. What are some things that you've tried? When you can get down to that point and you've drilled to that level of relationship that you can share with a colleague who does similar work in another place, and you can share ideas, maybe both of you will become enriched by this conversation. And so for our superintendents to support principals and send them to be able to have these kind of conversations, I feel like it's important when I have people in the room. There are times that I need to share information with them, but I certainly want to make sure that they are sharing with each other and learning from each other's practice.
That's excellent practice. Just as a note, like today in your class, one of the things that you did was you said, You said, now, before we begin, I know you got something on your mind, and we really can't go forward until you have a chance to actually talk about what's on your mind. Tell me what made you think to do that.
Well, I'm a teacher, Steve, and so when in doubt, I remember that, and I remember that I can handle most circumstances because I'm a teacher, but I really believe this, is if you've ever taught, and you look out at your classroom when they walk in, I know that we've worked really hard, and I believe in it. We want to get our kids started. We want to get them going. But if you ever look out and you see that things are on your kid's mind to begin with, are you really good enough to go over, through, around, or under that to get inside of their head? Maybe you are, and maybe your activity is engaging enough. But I'm not talking about spending your whole class period, but what if you could spend just a short period of time to let everybody kind of have a clearing, kind of a, I don't know, at a fine meal, that you would have that little palate cleanser, that little sorbet that comes and lets you move from one thing to another. When we fail to acknowledge people's thoughts and how their mind works, can I just bull straight ahead and get us into some activity? Absolutely. But what if, like for today, if all of the people in the room are thinking about where their faculty mindset is at this time of year, or they're thinking about evaluations or holiday events at their school, and I start talking about legal issues, you know, they're still thinking about those things.
Most definitely.
And they're very polite. They're wonderful people. They would, and they know they've mastered the masks of concealing your thoughts, which you have to do as a leader sometimes. You know, what I find, and I do this quite often in my classes, is let's start with what's on your mind. Once we have that, you may have something on your mind that's better than what I had. But on top of that, it gives everyone an opportunity to talk about what they want to talk about. And then once that's over, then they're ready for new material. And so I think you've got to empty before you can fill again. So,
gotcha. That's, you know, and it's neat to see them interacting, because you can tell that they want that and they really desire that time. And it's a great practice to get them to talk about what is on their minds so you can move forward.
Well, and if I could say this about that, Steve, sure, is one of the things that I think is a problem with our practice in education now is that we are trying to drive patience out of our teachers. And what I mean by that is, and again, I mean, somebody listening to this on your podcast may think, that sounds an awful lot like what we did to get a teacher off track. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a teacher who's skillful enough not to be led astray.
Right.
And that the topics be sincere and genuine and relevant. And that's what we do with the principals, for sure. I think that in our efforts to make sure that we reach particular levels of success, we've made our classes and our schools and a lot of our interactions with students, we've made them frantic. They're at such a fast pace. But what if we're running to nowhere? What if we're like the gerbil on a wheel and we're running really fast, but we aren't getting anywhere? I really believe in reflection, and I believe we can have group reflection and a number of configurations, and that's what you really get when you are able to let people talk together. Plus, some of the best thoughts are occurring to people who are in the class. If you just rattle on, then those thoughts pass and they forget them. What if they could have been fleshed out, and what if it could have been the idea that really made a difference for somebody in the room and what they did and how they acted? And so I really hope as teachers plan their classes that you give your students a chance to interact and engage. And to me, you know, the old school model is you walk down the hall as the principal, and if you hear noise, you're nervous and you run in. The opposite was true for me. If I walk by and they're quiet, I think something's wrong.
As an experience I had, someone shuts your door.
Yeah, that's
too much noise in the hall.
Yeah.
Let's kind of shift gears here just a little bit and just say, what sort of impact do you believe a leader can have on student success?
You know, there are a lot of reasons why students are successful in school, academically, and in other parts of their school lives. And I think we need to recognize the importance of success and that it means a lot of different things. It's success in relating to our other people, our adults. It's success for students to be able to relate well to each other. I mean, isn't that one of the biggest things that we really want them to do when they leave?
And
we built our plan for student success at Morgan County based on three things, called them the three W's. It's what they know and what they're able to do and what they're doing to relate to each other, and so, or what kind of people they're growing to be. Those things, the character, what kind of people you're going to be, your skills, what you're able to do, and what you know, the knowledge, over the last couple of decades, a lot of well-intended education reforms have led us with declaring that student success is just a tiny portion of what they know. It's not even all of what they know. Right. It's just a tiny portion of it. And we've judged students and teachers and schools and whole states as success or failure based on a tiny portion of what kids know. To me, really, it's true across the country. When the public says that we're not producing what they're looking for in students, it's not that they say we don't know this. It's that we're not able to do this. And so the more that our students are involved in things that are engaging and skillful, that's what people really were ever after to begin with. To me, that last piece, what kind of people they're growing to be, why do we pay for schools? I mean, why do we have taxes? Why is this a public interest? It has to be at some level that we wish to have a better community. And
yes.
What if we spend that time helping individuals as a part of the school community? My first student body, our first senior class president as the principal at Morgan County was a great young man named Sam Scott, who went on to Harvard, and he was really, really bright, but he was really very humble. And he often referred to, and I stole it from him and carried it out, that that you owed a responsibility back to school, that you were a citizen of the school. And I think if we think of our students as citizens of the school and we help them think about their responsibility in being a citizen of the school, that it can help guide their behavior and help them in how they relate to each other. And see, the great part about school is that people don't get things right and they make mistakes, because from those mistakes we can learn, and they're teachable moments, we like to call them. And in doing those things, we're able to really to become a better school, a better citizenry of our school. And, you know, I really like to think that that was a big part of what we did at Morgan County, but it's a big part of what you've done at your schools too, Steve, and is building that relationship between students and other students and students and teachers, to the point that that it helps us be better citizens in the larger community as well.
Okay, now I'm going to do it to you again, where I'm going to make you funnel everything in a big, large world down into one sort of thought. But if there was one thing, one piece of advice you would give to a school or a system leader, what would it be?
Well, now, which one, a school leader or a system leader?
Let's do a school leader.
One piece of advice for a school leader. Are they new, or they've been doing it for a while? Or
Let's say they're new. They're
brand new.
Let's do brand new.
All right, brand new school leader, listen. That would be my advice. Just one word, listen. I met a guy a few years ago. I'd spoken at a national conference, and at the end of a presentation, a guy came up and said, "Do you have a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And so we went, sat down, and had a Coke. He said, "I just got a job as principal just a couple of weeks ago." And I said, "That's awesome." I said, "Look, it's the best job you'll ever have. It's great." And he asked me the same question. He said,
"Oh, cool."
He said, "What advice do you have for me?" And he said, "But I need to tell you this. My superintendent has told me I have 1 year to turn the school around."
Right.
And he said, "So what's your advice?" And so I said, "Are you a drinking man?" And because if you are, I recommend drinking. If you're not, I recommend considering it. Because, see, that's the thing, is you can't rush in as a new principal and try to do things, because this is, I really believe, real change takes time. And you've got to develop relationships. You've got to be able to get to a point where people trust you, you're not doing something to them, you're doing it with them. And it just takes time for that to happen. So I have seen some wonderful, well-intended new principals go in and really have a lot of heartache because, you know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread.
Right.
And I would say that's first-year principal. You need to listen, you need to learn, you need to love. You need to get to know your people, care about them, your students, your teachers, your parents. And then while you're doing that, you're keeping your little book with notes about what you'd like to do for the next year, and then you build a program together with your faculty to be able to address those things. I know what to tell first-year principals.
Well, keep that in mind, because, you know, great advice, the idea of listening. And I appreciate you narrowing it down like that. As you notice, I like to do that.
Yes, you like to narrow it down.
So thank you for making that. That's excellent advice. Now what I'm doing is I'm bringing it to, we're getting close to the end. And one of the things that I know that you are, is you're an avid reader. You're constantly finding something new that can have an impact on how you teach or how you even interact in the world and so forth. And I just want to know if you have a couple favorite books or one favorite book or something that you're currently reading or something you just finished or something that you'd like to share with us.
Sure. Well, not to be difficult, but that's another one of those questions like, a book for who and for what part of their career and what are they doing right now? Because that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed. There's so many good books and good reads that school leaders can get a hold of that can inform their work. And there are things your whole faculty can read. There are things that as the leader, it's probably more for just you.
Well, how about I help you narrow it down? Let's go back to the idea of that first year principal.
My friend Todd Whitaker has a book called What Great Principals Do Differently. It's not overly heady. It's very practical and real, and that'd be a good starter. I'd put you in that to get you started.
Okay.
And get you thinking about things. And as you move forward, I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek has a book, Start With Why, which I think is critical because ultimately the school leader, and really the leader of any organization, you're constantly charged with being the agent of change. And humans typically don't like change, and so being able to successfully bring about change is how you bring success at the school. And Simon Sinek's work is very intuitive and enjoyable to read, but it's very informing about how to bring about change. So it's a good book. I'll throw out another one if you got time.
Oh, we got time for it.
All right. Chip and Dan Heath are authors that I really like, the brothers. They've had The Carrot Principle and, well, no, that's not theirs. They Made to Stick is one of their books. But the one that I really like that they have is called Switch, and it's about change. I find myself reading a lot about change, and particularly from business models, because I think that school leaders can learn a lot from that. Like Daniel Pink, I think I've sold a lot of Daniel Pink books for him.
Yeah, I think he needs to get you.
I just did at least an
sort of kickback or
probably
give you credit because I know you recommend his books a lot. Like for example, what book did you recommend to somebody today?
Well, his most recent is To Sell Is Human. And in this book, I know that he has made a lot more of an overt lean towards the people in education. And To Sell Is Human is really a good book. The premise is that we're all salespeople now. And salesman hasn't always been a term of endearment. There have been negative things. And he talks about that in the book. But one of the things, chapter 7 of that book in particular, is about pitch. And to me, what he uncovers in that chapter is very illuminating. He talks about the Pixar model of being able to do a movie. He talks about one word, talks about subject lines and for emails.
Okay.
Talks about a lot of things that really help you think critically because although I may have appeared to have rambled on, it's really important to be succinct and to have clarity of your message. And that's critical because to me, in the change process, so many school leaders have great ideas, and they rush from idea straight into implementation.
Gotcha.
And then their people push back, and it goes from idea to implementation to interment because it's buried. And then if anybody tries to pull that idea back up again, there are historians on staff to remind everybody that doesn't work. Well, the reality of that is the idea really is a great idea, but the reason it doesn't work, it's because they skip a couple of steps. They skip introduction and they skip initiation. And this is the curse of visionary people is they often have great ideas that they have a hard time being able to explain to other people.
Gotcha.
If you're able to explain it and if you're able to initiate it, and what I mean by that is get some success among a small number of people or even one person. Because remember, people are able to see things and learn from models, examples, more than they are from words or explanations. And so that's why even when you're assembling a grill, it has pictures on it, because we see somebody doing that, it makes sense. You really don't need that. You really don't even need instructions for that. But you know what I mean.
I think I need instructions for anything. So.
Well, when we're trying to bring about a big initiative, our zeal for the initiative, because we really believe in this idea,
right.
It makes us shortcut these things. But I think there's a process for change, and there may be some that occur without going through those steps. But most of them require the idea, the introduction, the initiation, the implementation, and then the introspection, what's working, what's not working, and it takes you back full circle to idea again, because after you've evaluated and analyzed it, you're back into either re-imaging the idea or carrying out the idea. And all of that to say is, Daniel Pink does, again, Daniel, I hope you'll send at least an autographed copy, but his book Drive helps explain with purpose, mastery, and autonomy is the concepts there about why people do what they do. And his book To Sell as Human really helps us as leaders to figure out the right words to say to get people to find purpose in our work. So we're talking about books. Daniel Pink's hard to miss. So.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing those with me.
Sure.
In closing, what I wanted to do is give you a chance to tell our listeners how to find you on the web or otherwise.
Well, a couple of ways. I'm on Twitter, and it's Mark Wilson, GA, and the GA stands for Georgia. So that's where I am on Twitter. I've got a Scoop It page, or actually a handful of Scoop It pages, so you could find me at Scoop It at Mark Wilson. Also, my website is markwilsoneducation.com. And finally, the old school, if anybody out there actually still emails, I'll be happy to get an email from you. I'm at mark.wilson.ga@gmail.com. So love all of the ways we can connect now.
It's awesome. And actually, what I'll end up doing is putting those links in my liner notes when we publish the podcast. So appreciate it. Mark, I greatly appreciate you joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
I appreciate you spending all this time. And I got to tell you all that you need to spend some time. Go tweet him out there. Get a chance to take one of his classes. He's an incredible teacher, and enjoy the time we spent together and like the friendship we've developed over the years. And I appreciate you talking to us today, and wish you many happy travels and good wishes for everything. So thank you, Mark.
Thanks for letting me be on the show, Steve.
Appreciate it.
Hello, listeners. We would like to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.